What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Elite Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Adam Stock. If you don't already, follow me on Twitter at Adam G Stock. We've got lots of good stuff today, but if you follow me there, I'll answer whatever questions you've got. Same setup as usual this week. We had 10 games last night, and we'll go through all of them. We'll focus mostly on the pickups and players who are currently over and underachieving. I'll also be talking a lot about which players are more deep league guys instead of 12-team league guys. We'll start with the Hawks versus the Kings. The Hawks got a win despite a rare off night from Trae Young. It was over early, so all of the starters played low minutes. Hunter didn't do anything, but that was due to the score. DeAndre is fine to have in 12-team leagues for now. Wouldn't call him more than low-end, though. I'm not really sure that he's a must in 10-teamers either. His numbers outside of the scoring categories are just extremely weak, so to even be a top 120 guy, he needs to be shooting in the high 40s. He's been doing that since he came back, but I don't think it's a lock that the shooting sticks. Last year's nice run that got us all excited was made possible by some absurd shooting from two. I'm talking Giannis-level efficiency from two-point range. Given what we've seen since from Hunter, I think it's probably more likely that that hot shooting streak was probably just a heater, probably not something we can expect going forward. Definitely a real nice real-life player, a nice piece for the Hawks, but he's one of those guys who isn't really made for category leagues. Bogdanović came back and his return makes Herter a 12-team drop. I'd hold Herter in 14-team leagues for now, but he's not going to be worth more than a streaming spot in 12-team setups. Going to see his usage and his dimes and his minutes drop slightly. If you're rolling, I'd grab Bogdanović to see if he can get hot. It's been really mediocre this year, but he was really mediocre to start last season before turning into a top 50 guy almost overnight. If you're struggling at value streaming spot over him, there's no guarantee that he actually turns it on. Okongwu had a nice game with 18 and 7, but since it came against the Kings backups mostly, and in a game where Capella only played 20 minutes, I wouldn't read too much into it. Okongwu is fine as a 16-teamer in builds that are punting a guard category or two, but in anything shallower, he's just a streamer. The only interesting bench option on the Hawks is Gallo. It's been a little quiet lately, though. I'd view him as more of a 14-team hold since he brings hard-to-find free throw percentage impact. In 12-teamers, he's more of a points, threes, and free throw percentage impact streamer. No Fox last night for the Kings, so Davion Mitchell got a start. He took advantage of the extra run and had 20 points, 4 threes, and 6 dimes. That's good to see if you're a Kings fan, but from a fantasy perspective, we don't really care. Mitchell's only been a top 350 player this year in about 25 minutes a night, so even if he starts playing 30 down the stretch, he's pretty unlikely to be a 12-team grab. Rashawn Holmes had a nice line with 12 points, 5 boards, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Really nice line, but what I like most about it is the 28 minutes that came with it, especially 28 minutes in a blowout is really nice. We need those minutes to get back to closer to 30 if he's going to be the early round guy that we know he can be in builds like punt threes, punt assists, and punt steals. I'm still buying low with confidence, easily the best center on the Kings, and they'll be trying and probably failing to make a push for the play-in. If they want to have a legit shot at the play-in, they're going to have to up Holmes' minutes eventually. I'd be willing to give up around a top 75 guy for Rashawn. Bagley did nothing in 22 minutes, cooled down again. He's fine to drop even in deeper leagues. In deep points leagues, feel free to hold him a little longer, but in category leagues, since he's solid boards, low end points, and Drake's everywhere else, he's going to struggle to even be a top 225 guy. The only Kings bench player worth talking about is Buddy. Played 30 last night, but only had 8 points and 8 boards. Buddy's been super mediocre this year. He's only been a top 115 guy. He's on the trade block, and I'd be cheering for a trade at this point. A trade could definitely wipe out his value. Might go somewhere where he plays like 24 minutes, but at least it gives him a chance of being more than just low end. As long as he's in Sacramento, he's going to be stuck in a 28 minute per game role where he's going to struggle to be more than a top 100 guy even when he's hot. The Nuggets sleptwalked through most of their game against the Nets D team, but they pulled it out at the end. I don't have to tell you what Jokic did. You can probably guess. The man is just breaking fantasy again this year. Honestly, going forward, I think fantasy leagues are going to have to start coming up with rules to limit the advantage that the Jokic managers have. Maybe have the third round be flipped so the Jokic managers picking last. Other big names have had hot streaks here and there this year, but the consistency that Big Honey has, plus his durability, just makes him really unfair. I love the guy, but from a fantasy standpoint, he's a bit of a problem. He's really making leagues unfair. He's also the clear top dynasty player in Dynasty. No more of this Luka at one stuff. I know that was kind of the common pick coming into the year. I disagreed. I was a Jokic guy. Now there's no argument. Luka isn't even a lock to be a top 10 guy in 9 category leagues in his prime due to all the holes in his line. I'd much rather have 5 years of top 1, top 2 play from Jokic than whatever Luka is going to do over the next 10 years. Enough about Dynasty, though. We'll go back to the now. Barton came back and had 21 points and 20 shots with 10 boards, 3 threes, 4 dimes, 2 steals, and 1 block. That's a great line. He's a must-have everywhere despite some recent struggles. I wouldn't call him a buy low, though, since he's pretty inconsistent and he'll have to deal with Jamal Murray eventually. Aaron Gordon cooled off a bit and lost shots to Barton. Should be rostered in 12-teamers for now, but he's more of like a top 125 guy. He's a little better than that in points leagues, whereas the holes in his line don't matter as much, though. Monty Morris had 10-4-4 with a steal. Morris is fine to have as a 13th man, but I'd rather have a streaming spot. In most cases, he just has zero upside, and he's going to be dropped in the fantasy playoffs when Murray's active. Jeff Green only has 6 points in 24 minutes. Just a point streamer who doesn't hurt you in field goal percentage. Even in 16-team leagues, I'd view him as more of a streamer. Austin Rivers had 25 with 7 threes. That's a fluke. He's been one of the least productive players in the league on a permanent basis this year, and he's going to be playing a ton on nights when he's not red hot. Faku had another rough game. He's really slowed down lately. He's back to being just an assist and steals streamer in deeper leagues. Keep an eye on him because he's proven that he can have extended top 100 stretches, but for now he's fine to drop in 14 and 16 team leagues. Harden was rested, so the box score on the Nets side doesn't mean much. No Claxton or Sharp either, so LMA got 33 minutes and had 18 and 8. There's some uncertainty surrounding the center rotation, but my feel is that it will eventually go back to being just a two-man show with LMA and Claxton and with Sharp out of the rotation. Sharp didn't play much in Claxton's first game back, despite Claxton being limited. LMA and Claxton are both holds for now in 12-team leagues. Both can survive in a timeshare, although neither is a lock to be more than a top 120 guy. Kessler Edwards at 9-6 with a couple of blocks. Nice 14-teamer at the moment for those who need steals and blocks and average threes. Not a ton of upside, but he can be a nice piece in certain builds like punt points and punt to six. Patty Mills had 21 with 4 threes and 6 dimes. He's an ad everywhere until KD is back, although he's just 3, so he might not be a nice fit for your team. Could be worth holding after that as well, as in late February and throughout March, the Nets have a lot of home games, so we won't see a ton of Kyrie then. Cam Thomas played 26 and had 25 points with 4 threes. He's a nice point streamer for nights when Kyrie sits. When Kyrie is active, though, he's useless. If you need threes, though, there's probably better streamers out there. The 4 threes are actually a bit of a fluke. Thomas has been pretty mediocre in the category this year. He's currently only producing 1.5 threes per 36. Next up is the Bulls versus the Raps. It was a good one with the Bulls pulling it out at the end. The Raps probably should have had this one, but they shot 60% from the line. On the Bulls side, the big three did most of the damage. LaVine, DeMar, and Vooch combined for 69 points and 23 dimes. With Lonzo and Caruso out, it's going to be a lot of those three guys and probably Kobe White as well. I said probably because White played only 24 minutes last night. That's something to watch. He played poorly and the Raps were rolling with some very big lineups that may have limited his minutes. So I wouldn't be panicking just yet. I definitely wouldn't be dropping, but we definitely do not love to see that. That is for sure. Dosunmu played 38 minutes but did absolutely nothing. With both LaVine and DeMar active for the first time in a while, Dosunmu's usage fell off of a cliff. He had only 7 points on 10 shots and he added very little elsewhere. If you've already grabbed him, I'd hold on for a couple more games just to see how this goes, but I think he's going to end up as more of a deep league guy even if the minutes are huge. He's been really poor on a permanent basis this year and his recent big games have been due to some unsustainable shooting. On nights when he's not hot, he's going to be fairly useless, I'm afraid. Javonte Green started and played 24, but he's not much of a fantasy option. You can ignore him. Troy Brown, remember him from his Wizards days, played 22 and had 8-3-2. I'd maybe keep an eye on Brown as he had some useful stretches with the Wizards, but I'm not super hopeful there. He hasn't been the same guy with the Bulls. No Freddie again for the Raps, so we got Point Pascal. Siakam had a poor scoring night with only 12 points on 12 shots, but he did drop 7 dimes. I said in my articles and I said it in my sustainability analysis, I think the dimes are for real. He's been used as a Raps backup point guard a lot lately, and as long as that role sticks, the dimes should as well. Scotty Barnes at 16-7-5 with a block, which was good to see. The Rook's been struggling a little bit, but I'm not too worried about it due to the ridiculous minutes that Nurse is playing him. As long as he's playing close to 36 a night, he's going to be a top 100 guy, even if his permanent number regress a bit. Gary Trent was going off for 32 and with 6 threes before a very poorly timed ejection late that might have cost the Raps a game. I know some are worried about him, but I'm not really worried. I expect a little regression in his steal rate, but it's the same deal as Barnes. As long as the minutes are massive, Trent is a very good bet to be a mid-round guy. OG had a very nice game with 23 on 10 for 15 shooting. OG's been a solid top 40 guy this year, but I think he's still got an extra gear in him. He's shooting a little worse than expected, so if his efficiency does start to rebound a little bit, he could still easily be a top 25 guy, especially in builds like punt dimes where his value takes a nice bump. I'd probably inquire about his price because it feels like he's been slightly disappointing, even though he's pretty much played up to his ADP. Precious started and didn't do much. He's just a board streamer. Boucher played 28 off the bench. He's the only Rats bench guy who's viable in fantasy leagues. Probably more of a 22-minute per game guy when all five starters are healthy, but until we see that, he's a solid hold in all leagues. The Cavs, they look like the real deal, folks. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, but this looks like a damn good team. They took down the Bucks by 16 last night and jumped ahead of the Bucks in the standings, actually. What a world we are in. None of the starters actually blew up. It was Osman and Love who got it done for the Cavs. Love had 25 and 9 on 16 shots. He played 27 minutes too, which is great to see, as it looked like he might end up being stuck in a 20-minute role. We'll see what happens when Markkanen's back, but either way, he's a clear standard league guy. Osman has been terrible lately, but dropped 23 with 6 threes and 2 steals last night. I'm not treating him as more than a streamer anywhere, though. If you look at his game log, it's pretty ugly. Before last night, he hadn't played more than 19 minutes in any of his last 3 games. You should watch him, but I'm not running to him even in deep leagues. Dean Wade started and didn't do much. He's a watch as well, as he played 35 minutes last game, but I doubt the minutes will be consistent enough to make him more than just a deep league streamer. Okoro did nothing in 29 minutes, which is not a surprise. From a fantasy standpoint, we can write him off. He hasn't even been a top 400 permanent player this year, so I wouldn't bother even tracking him. Doesn't matter how many minutes you give him, he's not going to be good. Mobley is the last Cav we'll talk about. He had a solid game with 16 and 7 with a 3 and 2 blocks, but he went 5 for 7 from the line, which is super annoying. He's been a punt free throw percentage only player guy lately, and if he doesn't wake up from the line, he's going to be more of a top 100 option than the potential top 40 guy that we thought we were getting early in the season. If you don't care about free throw percentage, buy low on him aggressively. If you do, be careful. He wasn't a good free throw shooter in college, so it's not a lock that he turns it around at the charity stripe. On the Bucks side, Giannis and Middleton had their usual games. Middleton's really turned it up lately, and I'd value him as a third-round player going forward. Drew was horrendous last night with only 4 points on 9 shots. He did have 7 assists, but it was a really rough night for Holiday. It's been quiet since he came back from an ankle injury, but for now, I'm not worried. It's probably just rust, but we will keep an eye on him. Portis went wild for 22 and 7. He's been solid all year. I'd value him as a mid-round guy in trade talks. Lopez doesn't have a clear timeline, and when Brook is back, he's probably going to be pretty limited when he's finally healthy. Serious back injuries are no joke, and the Bucks don't really have a reason to push him hard in the regular season. Portis will lose a little bit of value when Lopez is back, but he's not going to stop being pretty useful. Connaughton started with Grayson Allen suspended. You can ignore Connaughton. Great start to the year, but with DiVincenzo, Allen, and Matthews around, there's just too many cooks in the kitchen. Beyond the top 4 on the Bucks, no one is really interesting at the moment. The Hornets and Pacers played what looked like an all-star game, and I don't mean that as a compliment. I'm talking about the lack of defense. The Hornets won 158-126, so we got plenty of big lines. It was a big Oubre night. He had 39 points with 10 threes and 2 steals. He's a must-add with Hayward out, assuming the ankle injury he picked up isn't too bad. Once Hayward's back, he's more of a 13th man in 12-teamers and not a must-have. If you look at his game log, you'll see lots of games where his minutes get stuck in the low 20s and where he's pretty useless. I love him in Roto, though, where you can just bench him when the Hornets starters are healthy and then start him when they're not. But in head-to-head, he's a tough hold when the team is at full strength. Cody Martin also started and had 11 points with 2 threes, a steal, and 2 blocks. He's also a strong add until Hayward is back if you need steals and low-end numbers elsewhere, and then he'll be a drop when Hayward is healthy. Book Knight had 13 and took 14 shots. The rookie can be ignored for now. He's behind a lot of guys in the rotation, and his game wasn't fantasy-friendly at all in college. I can't see him being useful this year. The center rotation was 27 minutes for Plumlee and 18 for PJ. Plum is absolutely untouchable outside of punt free throw percentage. He shot 22% from the line over the last month. 22%. Nice big man cat streamer, but you can't use him during weeks where free throw percentage is competitive, so he's not even that useful as a streamer. Washington is more of a stash than a hold. He's been super inconsistent, and he's unlikely to be more than low-end in Charlotte. He's a must-watch, though, because he's a trade candidate, and if he gets close to 30 minutes somewhere else, he could be a mid-round asset. The Pacers were toast early, so they limited Duarte, LeVert, and Goga's minutes. Duarte and Goga remain must-haves with the Pacers so beat up. Doesn't sound like Sabonis is far away, though, so Goga may be a drop soon. Just try to give him a couple of games with Sabonis first. Maybe the Pacers keep rolling with the double big lineup. Doesn't sound like Turner's going to be back anytime soon, and he could be moved. Justin Holiday had 3 triples and a steal. He's a real nice 3-streamer, but that's it. His steal rate has died this year, so he hasn't been able to be that sneaky top 120 guy that he has been in the past. Torrey Craig had another nice game with 14 points, 1 3, and 3 boards on good shooting. Solid stream for boards and low-end numbers elsewhere until the Pacers get healthy. Isaiah Jackson had 17 off the bench with a steal and a block. Not a grab right now, but he is a name to keep in mind for late. Isaiah Jackson, rookie on the Pacers. He has the potential to be a matchup swinger if given big minutes late. His per minute numbers in the defensive categories were incredible in college, and he's producing 1.6 steals per 36 and 2.7 blocks per 36 as a rookie. He's also a pretty strong rebounder, producing over 10 rebounds per 36 at the Pacers decide to really rev up the tank. He could be a pickup late. Heat Knicks is next. The Heat took this one by 14. No Lowry again, so Vincent got another start. He had 8 points, 2 threes, 5 dimes, and 2 steals. He's a very, very strong stream for threes, dimes, and steals until Lowry is back. He's a must-hold in all leagues for now. Duncan Robinson went off for 25 points to 7 threes after the big game. He's hit 18 threes over his last 3 games. Fine to add, but I wouldn't be dropping anyone with a decent long-term outlook for him. Robinson's just too risky right now. He blows up from time to time, but most nights this year he hasn't been very useful. I would call him a must-grab in 14 and 16-team leagues, however. Hero is back, so that meant fewer minutes from Martin and Strus. Both can be dropped. PJ Tucker also had 20 points in only 22 minutes. We should write that off as a fluke as well. He's been useful when the Heat were beat up, but now that they're almost back to full strength, he's going to be just a forgettable 16-team league guy and a board streamer in anything shallower. The Knicks also got another god-awful game from Randle. He had 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists on 5-for-12 shooting with 4 turnovers. Unless you can get him for super cheap, I'm not really buying low. I'd take him for a top 100 guy, but nothing more than that. He just looks like the guy he was before last year. It's not like what he's doing is completely unheard of. Flukes happen, and it looks like last year was a fluke. If he hadn't played this poorly in the past, then maybe I would think, yeah, he could turn it around, but maybe this is just who he is. Noel was out last night with a sore knee, so Mitch Robb started and played 29 minutes. He had a low-end line. In 10-teamers, Robinson isn't a must-hold. Okay in stuff like punt points, punt assists, and punt free throw, but still just low-end. In 12-teamers, I would keep him for now, but yeah, again, he's just low-end there as well. He just hasn't been the same guy under Thibs. I'd be pretty interested if he was ever to be traded, but that there hasn't been any rumors around that. His blocks have also been poor lately, which is pretty worrisome because without blocks, he just isn't going to even be a top 200 guy. Over the last month, he's only managed 0.8 blocks per game. Speaking of Noel, if he ever stays healthy, he should be a clear standard league guy in an ad, but that's a pretty big if at the moment. Did came back, and then his knee flared up again. That's kind of been the story of the season. Keep an eye on him, Adam, if you have a free spot, but I wouldn't be too hopeful. Kemba Walker only played 18. He's a drop even in deeper settings. It feels like a benching or another injury is inevitable at this point, and he's not doing much even when he is active and playing decent minutes. Brooks only played 15 minutes. He's a drop everywhere. It'll probably be an add at some point this year if something goes down with Kemba, but for now, he's not worth stashing. Fournier only had 7 points on 7 shots in 19 minutes. Too inconsistent to be a 12-team guy. I don't want him in 12. Even in 14-teamers, he's just low-end. Barrett is also just low-end, but he's on a big-time heater right now, so I'd be holding him. He's averaged 21 points over the last month. His free throw woes make him someone I'd like to move unless I was punting free throw percentage. However, he really doesn't have much upside outside of that build. However, in points leagues, he's a nice piece just because all the holes in his line don't matter as much. The Clippers took down the Magic behind another nice game from Amir Coffey. He had 19 points with 3 threes, 6 boards, 5 dimes, and 1 steal. He also went 6-for-6 from the line. This big run's a bit of a shocker. I admit I did not see this happening. I don't think many people really did, but we'll just roll with it and see where it goes. Just grab him and hope he can keep it up. The minutes have been real steady lately. I'm not sure he's locked in as a long-term piece though, because the Clips have been really hard to predict this year. They've had a lot of rotation changes, and a Paul George return would probably wipe him out. But I mean, he needs to be on a roster until we see him fall off. Don't be dropping him because there's the potential that he falls off. Wait until he actually does it. Terrence Mann had 14 points, 2 threes, a steal, and nothing else. Just a weak 16-team league piece. He's a guy who's just not made for category leagues, just doesn't contribute in enough categories. Nick Batum played 22 minutes after a short night last time out due to back spasms. He had 12 points, 4 threes, 7 boards, and a steal. Grab him if he was dropped after his back scare. He could be a mid-round guy the rest of the way if he's starting and getting 28 minutes consistently. Probably will be in punt points if the minutes are in that range. Luke Kennard had 17 off the bench with 2 threes and 5 boards. He's just a 2-cat guy though, so I wouldn't call him a must in 12-teamers. I'd rather have a streaming spot than Kennard right now. He's a nice add in deep leagues though, where guys who do good work in points and threes aren't as plentiful on the wire. The last Clipper that we'll talk about is Hardenstein. I would add him in 16-team leagues and watch him closely in shallower settings. He's ahead of Serge Ibaka again in the rotation and was having a nice top 100 stretch before his ankle injury cost him a bunch of games. He's a top 50 per minute player, so even 20 minutes a night, even if it doesn't sound like much, would be enough to make him pretty useful. On the Magic side, Wagner had 21 points with 9 dimes. He's lost some usage since Anthony and Suggs have gotten back, but he's still been about a top 100 player. We've probably already seen his best stretch of the year that came in December, but he still should be useful all the way to the buzzer. The Magic are pretty clearly committed to playing in big minutes. I think regardless of who's healthy, he's going to play 32+. Suggs had a low-end line with 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, with 2 threes and 3 turnovers. Fine to add, but just be careful who you drop. His game is just not really category league friendly. So even when he's playing well in real life, like he has been lately, it's not necessarily going to translate to a ton of fantasy value. Could easily just end up being a top 150-ish guy, even if he continues to play well. He's actually only been a top 160 guy since he got back. And even though he had some real nice lines in there, in ACAT he's safer. There he can be more of a top 110, top 100 guy. He's a pretty high turnover player. Nothing too interesting going on besides that with the Magic. Cole Anthony had a nice bounce back game with 19 points and 11 dimes. I would try to use this game to sell high. It's been trending down hard for a while now, and Markelle Fultz will eventually come back and he'll take a bite out of Anthony's value. Anthony could easily actually drop out of the standard league combo, might end up as a punt field goal percentage only guy, especially if Suggs continues to turn it up. Chuma only played 18 minutes. He's more of a 14-team league guy who could turn into a must-have as the year goes on. He's a must-watch, but I wouldn't be rostering him in 12-team leagues at the moment. The Mavs had an easy time with the Blazers' Swiss cheese defense. They dropped 132 and won by 20, even though Luka was pretty quiet. Did have a triple-double, but it wasn't a pretty one. Brunson had 20 points and 11 assists, and I'd be using this game to sell for a safer top 100 player. His permanent numbers in points and assists, which is where most of his value comes from, with Luka on the court, are pretty rough. And there's not going to be a ton of nights like this going forward as long as Doncic is healthy. We've definitely seen Brunson's peak unless Luka goes down again. I like Brunson as a player, but with the Mavs being so Luka-centric, it's going to be hard for him to be more than a back-end guy most nights. Finney Smith had 11 points with 2 threes, 4 boards, and a steal. He's not a high upside guy, but he's a top 100 player in a lot of builds, so he's someone that should be on a roster in 12-teamers. Doesn't have to be yours, but he should be on someone's roster. Check to see if he's available, because his ownership rate is pretty low on both Yahoo and ESPN. Kleb had a nice game with 12 points, 2 threes, 5 boards, and 3 blocks. He's a nice 14-team league piece for his threes, boards, and blocks. I'm not adding in 12s, though, at the moment. It's been pretty quiet lately with Porzingis healthy, and the minutes have been stuck in the mid-20s a lot of nights. Reggie Bullock took over the Tim Hardaway Jr. role and had 15 points, 4 threes, and 4 boards in 25 minutes. I'm just watching for now, even in 16-team leagues. He had a nice stretch with the Knicks last year, but he hasn't been nearly as good on a per-minute basis this year and won't have as large of a role in Dallas as he did in New York last year. The Blazers got smoked, but they still played their main guys big minutes. Norm Powell's minutes went back to normal, so he should be good to go going forward. He's pretty inefficient last night, didn't have a nice line, but he should be a mid-round guy going forward, with Lillard out at least until probably the end of February at the earliest, could be done for the year. Simons took only 14 shots with Norm back, which isn't great, but it's not bad either. But he did hit 9 of those shots. He also added 7 assists. He'll lose a little something with Powell back, but he should still be a top 90, top 80 type of guy who can be a little more than that in punt field goal percentage and punt steals. To really be a league-breaking guy, though, we'll need to see like a CJ trade. Nurk continues to play about 30 a night. That should continue at least until Zeller and Nance are back. The big story coming out of Blazerland, however, was Nas Little going down for the year with a shoulder injury. That'll be good news for Covington once he's over his knee issues, assuming he's not traded. Nance, too, once he's back, but Nance just hasn't really been a nice fit in Portland, so I can't get too excited about that. Beyond that, it's not the most interesting injury for fantasy purposes. Before moving on, I do want to talk about Ben McLemore. You're probably like, why are you talking about McLemore? Is he still in the league? Yes, and he's probably the best three-point streamer on your wire right now. It's not a hold, but he is an awesome, awesome streamer. He's only playing minutes in the low 20s these days, but since he hits more threes on a per-minute basis than Steph Curry, he can give you about 3 triples a night in a low 20s role. He's averaged 3 triples over the last month, and he's hit at least 3 threes in 7 of his last 9 games. The Grizz got a nice road win over the Spurs thanks to 41 points from Ja Morant. Morant is just annihilating all expectations this year. It's not even just the scoring and the better three ball. His steal rate has gone through the roof, and so has his rebounding rate, which was really poor in his first couple years in the league. He needed to improve literally everywhere to even be a mid-round guy, and he's done that. Usually you see guys slowly add to their game. Maybe they pick it up in one category one year and then another the next year. But Morant has gone from a guy who helped in two categories last year to one that can help you almost across the board. It's really an incredible improvement. Bane had 20 with solid shooting at the line and three dimes. We'll see what happens when Brooks is back, but Bane should be at least a top 100 guy the rest of the year. He's improved and a lot of things have broken his way. It seems like we've always been waiting for his minutes to take a hit or his usage to take a hit, and then something happens and boom, he's back to being a mid-round guy. I think at this point we'll just assume that his luck holds. JJJ had 22 points and 9 rebounds with 6 blocks. Jackson is frustrating as hell to me because it feels like he should be a top 15 guy with the tools that he has, and maybe he will be one day, but right now he's just really inconsistent. Only been a top 50 guy this year. I would assume that'll just be a mid-round guy going forward who can be more than that and punt dimes. Love him as a trade target after his next slump in punt field goal percentage, since he gains value in that build and his blocks are huge in that build. Since punt field goal percentage tends to struggle with swats, it's hard to find bigs in that build, especially ones that do good work in blocks. Melton had 3 steals in 24 minutes and didn't do much else. Just a steal streamer, even with a bunch of guys out. I've given up on him at this point. Jenkins just doesn't really like him. Clark only played 20 minutes, but he did post a nice line due to some strong efficiency, solid boards, and a steal and a block. That's what he's been doing most nights lately. I'm holding for now in 12-team leagues. He's been playing like a mid-round guy lately, and since he's elite on a permanent basis, he doesn't need more than 22 minutes to be useful. Steven Adams, on the other hand, continues to start, but he's not that useful. Just a board streamer, he can give you one steal a night. He's no longer a good source of field goal percentage impact. He's shooting just over 50% from the field. So even in punt free throw percentage, he's just a low-end asset at best. I wouldn't be bothering in 12-team leagues. More of a 14-team league punt free throw percentage guy. On the Spurs side, Murray had a triple-double. He's locked in as an early round guy. Just double-check your playoff schedule if you have him, since the Spurs have a two-game week during the fantasy playoffs. You may need to make some moves if your other top guys have bad schedules as well. Unfortunately, quantity often trumps quality in the fantasy playoffs. Keldon Johnson had 18 points with a couple steals and 4 threes. Fine as a 12th or 13th man, but that's all he is. Should be rostered at this point in 12-teamers. He's playing decently lately. Pirtle had another monster line with 18 points on 8-for-8 shooting, 7 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. Yeah, the free throw percentage is horrendous, but like, man, I'd still want him on my team. The rest of his line is so nasty. If you're punting free throw percentage, I would definitely inquire about his price the next time he's quiet. And punt free throw percentage, he can be an early round guy and builds like punt free throw percentage and points, or punt free throw percentage and threes, it could be a first round guy. Vassell is the last Spur we'll touch on. He had 20 points in 30 minutes on 8-for-16 shooting. Didn't do anything else, but we'll take that. He's just a stash. But if I was in a good spot, I would definitely want him on my squad. In one league where I'm sitting in a buy spot, I have him. I've been very happy to stash him over the last couple weeks. There's clear mid-round upside here, and he's been playing like a borderline top 100 guy lately. So he's not exactly a painful stash either. It's not like this is a Şengün or a Jalen Green situation. Our last game of the day is the Suns versus the Jazz minus Mitchell and Gobert. The Jazz put up a decent fight, but the Suns ended up taking it by 8. Booker had 43 and 12, just a monster line. He had a bit of a slow start, but he's been lights out lately. Should be a top 40 guy in 9-cat going forward, and a top 20-ish guy in 8-cat. Great to see. I'm just cringing a bit at where he's going to be ranked next year on Yahoo and ESPN. He's probably going to be ranked like 12th on Yahoo, and it'll just be impossible to take there. I also worry about Jazz ranking too. Like, Jazz probably going to finish as like a top 40-ish 9-cat guy, but you know on Yahoo and ESPN, he'll be ranked like 6. Enough about next year though, back to the Suns. Cam Johnson got the start with Crowder out, didn't do anything, but he should be held. I'd give him a few more games until Crowder is back too. It's still not clear if Johnson's strong play is going to lead to more minutes, but since he's been a mid-round player lately, we have to hold on until we know for sure. We don't want to be dropping him after like one bad game, then he goes back to being a top 70 guy. Biombo got the start, and he's a hold for at least one more game. JaVale's out next game, and it sounds like Aiden isn't going to be back until Sunday at the earliest. After Aiden's back, Biz is probably going to be a drop everywhere. Whiteside got another start for the Jazz and played almost 35 minutes, which is something he probably hasn't done in a long time. He had 16 points and 11 boards and 2 blocks. He's a must-add in all leagues, 100% of leagues. Until Gobert is back, which may not be for a while, Whiteside could be an early-round player in punt free throw percentage. The rest of the starters besides Conley were a little quiet. Bogdanović only had 7 points on 13 shots. Normally, I wouldn't worry about that, but due to his finger injury, that does have me a little spooked. He's been a clear standard league player up to this point, but if the finger injury is going to mess with his shooting, then he could turn into a drop in a hurry since so much of his value is tied to his shooting. I'd hold for now, but I am a little worried. Royce O'Neal had 8, 5, and 5 with a steal and a block. He's a nice punt points option. He's kind of similar to Dorian Finney-Smith. He should probably be on someone's roster in 12-teamers. Doesn't have to be yours, but O'Neal's pretty useful in a lot of setups, especially in punt points. Ingles played 25 minutes. He did nothing. Father Time has come for him. He's just a weak threes and assist streamer until Mitchell is back. Clarkson had 26 points with 6 threes. I try to sell high on him. He's getting some extra touches with Mitchell out, and he hasn't been all that useful this year. He's only been a top 189 cat guy, so if you can get anything close to a top 100 player for him, that's a huge win. And with that, we're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope it was informative. We're entering the stretch run of the regular season, so we really have to make some good decisions over the next few weeks. If you got a tough decision on your hands, let me know on Twitter or Slack, and I'll give you my thoughts. I'll see you next week.